Off to a good start. I didn't trip coming up the stairs, so I feel good about that. Very proud of myself for being on time this morning. I've not always been the best on time. There were a few times during my speaking career as a preacher that extenuating circumstances caused me to roar into the building right as the first song was starting when it was my time to preach. Song leader, I guess, didn't know what to think sometimes. I'm not very proud of that. Of course, I had a lot of excuses for that. Once I just went to sleep watching golf, and by the time when I woke up, it was about 10 till 6. So it was, I don't know what my wife Barbara was doing. I think maybe she had to go earlier or something, but got in trouble for that one. But I guess we all make some mistakes that we'd like to take back sometimes. One thing I did do is I brought my glasses. It really would be a short one without that. Not too long ago, I was preaching somewhere and I forgot my glasses, and that was the most stressful sermon I believe I've ever given. Just all upset about not being able to see the words, you know, that's kind of tough. I think one time I left my lesson in my locked-up house without a key. That was a real stressful one there. I actually had to crack a window to get in there to get that lesson. So that was an expensive lesson on my part. I don't think they paid me enough to break my window out, but I did get there on time. I didn't cut my hand off doing it, so things worked out well. One time I was just about late because I got stopped for speeding. And that's pretty good for the preacher, isn't it? Our associate preacher at church about to stop, and I'm out there on the main highway with a highway patrolman giving me a ticket. And I didn't get enough preaching then deal to pay for that ticket. So my wife got on me pretty bad on that one. One thing that helped there, he didn't come down too hard on me because I was his basketball coach in high school in Cassville, and but he still made me pay something, so I wish I'd have ran him harder when he was playing for me. I've known Bill and Kay for a long time. I couldn't say how many years that, you know, I knew him from Green Valley. And the sixth session, Bill's was the seventh session, and still is, I guess. Well, the sixth session was always, personally to me, a real test. If I could get through the sixth session and all the rowdiness and all that without hitting somebody or saying something or whatever and get to Bill's, I knew that Bill's, they had a lot of fun, they learned a lot, but it was a lot of it was done in decency and order. And kids learned a lot, but the week before, not being too critical, it just, when Saturday morning came and it was time to clean up, about a 4-hour job usually lasted about 6 or 7. And anyway, the camp was a very good experience for my wife and I. We had the privilege of running and living at the Green Valley Camp for 17 years. And I probably stated that wrong. We lived there 10, but I ran it for 17. I would go home to Cassville, where I was an associate minister, and come back on Sunday afternoon. And I did enjoy Rogers a great deal. I now live in Springfield. I'm the mayor of Fort Street over there on the other side of town, and it's been quite a change living in Cassville. If you know where Cassville is, a beautiful little town, probably maybe 3,200, 3,300 people, and I've probably got that many people on my block. I think I've counted that many coming up and down. But I'm adjusting. Got two daughters that wanted me to move here, and sometimes I wonder if they still want me here. You know, I'm just an old bachelor, but they've been wonderful to me here. Bill and Kay just always impressed me at Green Valley by the organizational skills that they had, and they would always put on a sound biblical camp. And you knew that on the girl side, Kay would keep things like they should be and still have a lot of fun doing it. And Bill always brought good lessons, brought good preachers there to teach. And Bill and I would get together, and I don't think we ever got beat at basketball, did we? No. Well, Bill was the tall one up in there dunking the ball, and I was the short one dribbling in between everybody. We had a lot of fun playing the basketball, and I think for a lot of kids, that was a good tool for them, is the Bible lessons, just that mingling with grown Christian men playing ball, learning how to act when you're playing and that type of thing. Just a good thing. Just a good thing. Strong friendships were made. Fun was evident at their session. Their biblical lessons were impeccable. They were very good. You always knew that Bill and Kay were going to run a camp that was good for the kids. And I don't know if there were many years that you were ever under the limit. Most of the time, we'd want to turn away something, but we'd go ahead and keep them anyway. Because there's a limit, I think, 170 back then. And they always had their 170. A lot of kids were baptized in this session, too. And I think, you know, they were baptized and they were taught why they were baptized, were following the Lord in baptism, and they knew. And they knew, and I hope that they are still strong Christians today. You know, I think Bill and his staff did their job as far as teaching them. I hope when they got out into the real world that, you know, things are still going well for them. But camp time wasn't always easy. I was in charge of basically the maintenance and that type of thing. And I had a staff under me. I'll have to say that I became a master at toilet maintenance. You know, I had all of them named. You know, and they'd say, a kid would come in and tell me, well, Charlie's acting up on the boy side. You need to go work on that one. And no, I didn't do that. But that was always a challenge when you have about 30, 35 toilets on a facility. And usually the kids you hire, they don't know how to do any of it, so I'd have to do it. Became a fairly good handyman and heard a lot of good lessons. You know, they would go to their Sunday night worship, and then I'd sneak down there and kind of listen to what's going on and really learned a lot. Got some sermon ideas every now and then from what was going on. I always hoped that they would leave all their outlines so I would have them when I had a chance maybe to speak. But every summer, and Bill will tell you this, and Kay will tell you this, sometimes we had to deal with water and floods. Sometimes, a lot of times, injuries, personality conflicts, not just kids, but adults also. School letting out late, and that made us have to push our time back whenever we could have camp. Some behavior problems, some water and other utility problems. The list could go on and on. Was it worth all that? You bet it was worth all that. Many lives were changed. Many people, many people became Christians. It was just something that was very rewarding. I always looked forward when that first session would start in June, and I always looked forward when it was over with in middle August too. It was time to rest, because it got a little hot down there, and there was a lot of work to do. I don't know. I know I met a lot of people that I wish I could still see every day that were so uplifting to me as Christians and were good people to be around. I don't know how many times in this four-state area, and since I even moved to Springfield, that I've been stopped by a grown-up and said, hey, you were Ronnie, the GVBC camp guy. Well, I'm still Ronnie. I'm not the camp guy anymore, but it was nice to be recognized by them, and they would talk about some of the things they'd experienced, thank me for running. They always say, thank you so much for letting me to come to your camp. Well, it wasn't my camp, but I kind of treated it that way with the way I kept it. But it was a great, great Christian experience. I really feel like it was one of the greatest bargains in the brotherhood. I don't know how in the world it operated with as low a cost as it did. I guess it was just people sacrificed. We had a lot of contributions. I don't know when I was there if the weekly fee to go to the camp ever went maybe over $80 a week for kids. And so many of them came back year after year after year. I go to church over at Sunset, and there's a young man there that's the minister for the college kids, and his name is Sean Jordan. And I just thought it was very ironic that when I started going to church there, I recognized him, and I was a counselor in Cabin 8 the first year I ever went there for a man named Wayne Deffenbaugh. And Sean Jordan was in my first cabin. It seemed kind of odd. There he was. He was probably maybe 12 then or something like that. I may have done something in the cabin I shouldn't have done. At noon, I'd always let him put all the mattresses on the floor and have championship wrestling. And I wanted them to get good and tired, so at night, you know, they'd go sleep at night. And Sean was a good wrestler. He held his own. He remembered that fondly. He certainly has developed into a fine Christian young man and is serving the Lord. And he's a good speaker, good song leader. I'm really proud of him. But it was a great experience for the kids, and many were baptized into Christ. And I hope all of them will stay faithful unto death. One of my favorite scriptures is Revelation 2 and 10. Be faithful unto death is what that says, and you'll have a home in heaven one day. And I try to live my life in a way. I've had some things happen that's, you know, made me question. And we got to stay faithful, don't we? The Lord will take care of us. One day, and whenever I was counseling, might have been during Bill's week. You might recognize him. I'm not going to say his name. But I had a boy at camp who came up to me with a complaint that had messed up his whole week. He was near tears. You know, I thought, what in the world could have happened? And he said, Ron, I would like to register a complaint. Very technical about how he said it. He said, I don't like your out-of-balance horseshoes. Now, have you ever heard of horseshoes being out-of-balance? And bought them at Walmart. They had to be good, you know. Very upset. He couldn't throw them straight. He couldn't score any points. He couldn't win any of the camp competitions down there. And he just sweared up and down that, you know, this is ruining my week. You know, I thought, well, if that's the worst thing that's ever happened to you, you'll be all right. But I watched his form throwing. I thought I'd try to help him. I didn't want him to have a bad camp experience and have his folks come chew me out because I didn't have good horseshoes. But you know, it wasn't the horseshoes. I watched him throw. He just wasn't any good. You know, I mean, his form was awful. Didn't hold him right. You know, it just to be honest, he was just pitiful at it. So I tried to be positive and tried to develop his throwing form. And he might have improved some as the week went on. The next year, he came back with his own personal horseshoes. And it was in a bag and everything, you know. And he said, Ron, I brought these. I'll show you something this year. They were some fancy brand. I don't know what brand you have in horseshoes. All I know is Walmart. No telling what they cost. And you know what? He still wasn't any good. Still was pitiful. And he said, well, these horseshoes I bought, I think they're out of balance too. He would never own up to it. But you know, he had this phobia about horseshoes, but what should have really been his priority at the camp instead of balanced horseshoes? Really, it should have been his relationship with God and what he could learn there at camp, not worry about that. Learning life lessons that would help him when he got home in his daily walk. That would help him to balance his life spiritually. You know, a lot of people's lives are out of balance, aren't they? And a lot of people stay out of balance so long, you just wonder if they will ever recover. And certainly our spiritual lives can get out of balance. It could be the lure and temptations of things in the world. It could be a bad break. There's a lot of things that sometimes get our spiritual lives out of kilter, make us out of balance in our daily walk, make us wobbly in our daily walk with the Lord, sometimes cause us to question if there is a God or if there is any use. Sometimes that happens. And just like the key here is just like that his horseshoes were out of balance, couldn't function well. If we're out of balance as a Christian, we can't function well either, can we? And I'd like to read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I think there's really there's a lot of things, but I want to emphasize two things that sometimes make us out of balance in our daily walk. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. This has to do with the world. It tells us, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Can our lives be thrown out of balance by succumbing to the lures of the world? Certainly can. There's probably, if we wanted to admit it, everybody in here has done things that perhaps we shouldn't have emphasized things over God's work that we shouldn't have, and it's not pleasing to our Lord. Matthew 6 and 33 tells us what? Tells us to seek God first, doesn't it? You know, don't put other things in front of Him. So, maybe because we're addicted to things in the world, maybe because we put less important things first, before God, maybe we get out of balance. What I would like to emphasize here is, how do we get our lives back in a proper Christian balance? Once we kind of get away, it's hard to come back in. Number one, we need to get our priorities in order. And what should be first in our lives? God. God and working for Him and living for Him, studying the truth. If we can get our priorities in order and put God first again, then we have a real good chance of getting our life straightened up and seeking God first like we should. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That's easier said than done. But if we can seek God first, if we can be steadfast, unmovable, then we can get our priorities in order. But we've got to practice what we read and practice what we preach. I can't emphasize enough. If we're not careful, the world will get us. The world will get us. That's just all there is to it. I think everybody in here know a lot of people that have fell away. Why? They let the enticement of the world and all of its worldly pleasures get to them. And they put God down on the back burner. It's so sad. So sad when that happens. But again, if we can study, if we can surround ourselves with Christian people, if we can come to congregations such as this and sing and study, and we really go out here and try to serve the Lord, we can come back, can't we? The Lord teaches us that. We can be in balance. Once again, young person, stay away from evil companionship. That happens to adults too, doesn't it? But as my kids were growing up, I always told them, you know, if it doesn't look right, don't do it. You know, stay away from evil companionship. Study the Bible. I would like to share an article with you. I really feel like if we could practice this during our lives, we will find favor with God. We will have a balanced spiritual life. And I would like for you to listen very closely as I read this. Now, first of all, I want you to picture in our mind, I don't think we probably want to picture it, but on our tombstone. So there's two dates there, isn't there? The tombstone, there'll be a date when we were born and a date when we die. What's between that, those two? There's a dash, isn't there? Like October 30th dash November 12th year. Can you picture that? You know, what will determine our eternity is what did we do during that dash. That period of time when we were born and when we die. I didn't write this, but I thought it was very good. You know, and it's entitled The Dash by a woman named Linda Ellis. It says, "I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth, and he spoke of the date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that the special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you lived your dash? Every day we're living, we ought to be, every day as we live, we need to think about that, don't we? You know, what kind of legacy are we leaving? Our date of birth is important because we start living. We know that we're going to die. But what is the most important is what you do between those years for God and for others. Will your dash be in the proper balance? Will God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," in the end? I'd like to offer the Lord's invitation now. There may be someone here that needs to make a decision for the Lord. There may be someone here that is not a Christian and doesn't have that hope of eternal life in heaven if they were to die today or the world was to end. There may be someone here that's fell away and hasn't lived the right kind of life and set bad examples for others. Whatever your need, please come forward as we stand and sing.